Fully Loaded. The Fully Loaded Show. Welcome to the Fully Loaded Show with your hosts, JC Cornell and Paige DeMarco.
It's funny how it doesn't take very long to get right back into it, right? I was like, oh, the intro played and I was like, right back at it. Like, feels good to be back. Feels good to be back, JC. We're here and we're here to talk about playoffs. I wish I had an Allen Iverson playoffs drop. That you got to bring that in next time. Shoot. That's your responsibility. You got to get the Allen Iverson. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I need to hear playoffs over and over again.
He was talking about practice, not playoffs.
Oh, Herm.
You want Jim Mora.
Talking about Herm. Yeah.
No, you want Jim. You want Jim Mora saying playoffs? That's what you want.
No, there's another one. There's a Herm one that he does playoffs too.
Let me go look.
I need Herm every drop that Herm's ever had. I need all of those in the soundbar. That's what needs to happen. I know that's a tough task because he has like 55 different sounds that we love, right? There's so many of them. There's so many good ones, but
you play to win the game.
Exactly. See, he's got so many good ones. He's got so many good ones. But JC, I want to kick things off here by saying, listen, first and foremost, the Bucks are in the postseason. They have not been in the postseason. They got their first postseason win in 13 years or something like that. So just, you know, you haven't had the opportunity to talk to the audience. So just explain what it means to be in the postseason. Cause man, it feels good. Even as a person who's just riding the hype train.
I mean, it's incredible. I don't even know how I feel numb like all the time. Like just thinking about it. Like we won the Super Bowl when I was in seventh grade. And then our next playoff appearance in 2008, I was a sophomore in college. And we just, I forget who we lost to, but like it's been forever.
It's been a long time.
18 years since a playoff win. So check that box. I mean, just thank you to Bruce Arians, Jason Light, Tom Brady for coming on and boarding this ship. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about some people that have doubted Tom Brady. And what have we always said? Do not give that man motivation.
Yeah, it's never a good idea to give him, and if you are a first-time listener to this podcast, you will learn. You will learn about the enemies of the pod, right? And this is, you know, it was inspired by really our first episode where JC and I found ourselves kind of, you know, having some animosity towards some people that, you know, needed to be dunked on, right? And it really grew into an entire segment of our show. And sometimes we're like, it goes 5 minutes, but sometimes it takes 45 to get through all the enemies because there's been a lot of shit talking that's been happening. And I think that we can't let it go unnoticed. We cannot let it go unnoticed. So you know what? Let's kick things off right off the top. I know what the sound is. Let's just get right into enemies of the pod because we need to get an update here. This is our audience needs to hear the update. Go ahead, Chris.
I got the music playing for you. You got the music.
Oh, here's the enemies music. We missed this.
I did miss this. But I'm not going to start today.
What?
I'm not going to start today. JC is going to start today because he has a fantastic enemies of the pod update with some sound from NFL films. So go ahead. You go ahead, Chris. You got to drop it on the people. They got to hear what this is about because this is going to fuel the fire. We're really going to get the energy up for the podcast after we hear this.
Now in the gun, fakes the handoff. He's under pressure. Throws over. No, that ball's intercepted at the 50. Oh, go. Takes a gun snap, quick throw near side. It's picked off. Janoris Jenkins, 15, 10, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Janoris Jenkins.
What play is that?
Come on, hey. He's a week away from the arthritis, baby. Give it to him.
Cam Jordan.
Wow.
Courtesy of NFL Films, by the way.
Yes.
So Cam Jordan, week one, after Tom Brady threw those picks, was saying he's a week away from the arthritis. Well, Cam, he went on to finish the season with 4,633 yards, 40 touchdowns, and a 102.2 passer rating as a 43-year-old. That man has no arthritis in him. He's very pliable. He's very healthy. He's dangerous, and he's coming for you this Sunday. I mean, what can you say? This guy is a nightmare for me. He's talked so much trash and backed it up over the years for the Bucks. I need the Bucks to come out this Sunday and finally spin it around on him. We need to beat them, and we need to beat them bad, Paige. That's what I'm looking for.
I love this one, JC, because it's perfect for this upcoming matchup, right? Like, it is absolutely so centered around Cam Jordan. I love a good villain, right? He is an excellent villain for Buccaneers fans. He talks a lot of trash. He backs it up. He's a really good really damn good football player. But this is the time. We just saw that offensive line step up big time against somebody else who talked a little smack, right? Chase Young opened his mouth a little bit against the GOAT, and he learned the tough way. And all those regular season W's, they don't mean a thing, because we're not about giving out participation trophies. We're about Super Bowl wins, Lombardis, okay? That is what Tom Brady is about. So that's nice that you got your regular season wins. But who is going to talk about that if the Bucs win this game? Nobody. Nobody's going to remember that the Saints beat them two times in the regular season, because you know why? It's not going to matter. It won't matter to anybody. So I love this one because it's related to this week, because he is one of those guys, the matchups within the game, that we're going to watch and go, can the Bucs take care of business, right? And that's what I'm looking for, JC.
I do have another enemy of the pod, and this is completely unrelated to the NFL, but I just thought we'd get loosened up with it.
I love it.
So this actually happened like a couple weeks ago, and you know, we took a little break from recording. I spent like time with the family for the holidays, but my mind didn't get away from the podcast, because let me bring a new enemy to this podcast. Jake Paul calling out Conor McGregor. We couldn't even play the clip on this podcast because he is literally dissing the man's wife, who's just had two beautiful children, like gone way too far. And Conor McGregor didn't even answer to this video, which he shouldn't, because Jake Paul is just not even in his league. But here's the thing. I know when, you know, Conor McGregor is going to beat Poirier here in two weekends from now. And, you know, if he wants that $50 million check, God, would I love to watch him beat the shit out of Jake Paul. I hate that kid. Doesn't he live in Scottsdale, or is he an LA kid?
He's an LA kid. He came, I don't remember which one of the stupid brothers. Okay. I lumped them in together because they're both dumb, right? They're both YouTube. They've made it more famous on Vine, and they seem to just keep popping up doing stupid shit. And they continuously when are people going to learn? Like, these guys, like, don't watch their videos. Don't give them money. Don't participate in their process. They had the whole thing that happened in Japan where they were disrespectful to that suicide thing. They've done like the Black Lives Matter protest out here. They came to Scottsdale to Fashion Square with a bunch of little punk kids and were disrupting everybody out here. And the Black Lives Matter protesters were like, we're just having a peaceful protest, yo, and you're going out here and breaking into a mall and breaking shit and giving us a bad name. Like, what do you know about that, Jake and Logan Paul? You guys are both morons. Like, both of you are on the list. I don't know who either one of you are on either side, so you just both enter the enemy territory. Because one thing you will learn about this show, if you don't already know, JC and I have a couple of favorites, right, as it comes to athletes and people that we follow. Michael Jordan is number one for me, but Conor McGregor is really high up on that list, man. I love me some Conor. And,
King is back.
That's right, baby. That's right. And I love me some Conor, and so does JC. And there's certain things, listen, it's part of the show, right? You guys talk a little smack, you go back and forth. Just certain things you don't really talk about, right? Like going after the wife and the kids and like being just like, I think they're off limits, like, in apparently not off limits to this dude who thinks he's now like a boxer or whatever the hell he thinks. You're a YouTuber, you got famous on Vine, enjoy your 15 minutes of fame. And I'm glad Conor didn't talk to him, because it would just justify the stupidity, right? Conor did the best thing, which was just, this doesn't even deserve my time. We will entertain the pettiness. So
he's thinking about it like every day. Like, he's thinking, oh my God, every day.
100%.
What can I do?
Can I please see them just like, I just want to see it on the street. Like, all of a sudden they just like bump into each other. Like, name me a scenario where Conor McGregor is ever intimidated by that dude. You can't. Okay. There's not one. So I love the enemies of the pod update. Chris, I'm going to let you, I told everyone they had to have at least one, and that includes you.
Okay.
And I have some enemies of the pod for you. So as a backup for you, I have some options. So if you didn't think of one, I have one. I have two, actually. So go ahead.
We had a meeting the other day in terms of relaunching the podcast. And we said, hey, we're going to bring enemies of the pod back. And, you know, Chris, you better have one for the podcast on Thursday. And I was thinking, like, well, life's pretty good right now. Like my baseball team is run very well, making good trades. My football team is actually doing a full hiring process. I don't have to deal with Adam Gase. So like things that are just easy. Like these are things I could just roll out of bed and have enemies for. I don't. So it was it's very difficult to come up with enemies when things are going well. And I'm not used to this. This is not a feeling I'm used to having where my sports teams are run very well. So Paige, you know what? We'll just go down this road. We'll rip the Band-Aid off. Go ahead. Why don't you give the ones you have for me?
That's right, Chris. I knew we'd get to this point. I knew we'd get to this point where I got to deliver these. So here we are. Chris went on a little vacation. All right. He was back home. Yeah. Work trip, seeing the family for the holidays. He leaves Arizona in December. Yeah, we got a lot of questions. Don't worry, people. We'll get to that. He's gone for over a month. And he comes back.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, his water. He's having trouble with the water at the apartment building. Mm-hmm. He has big problems. His whole apartment stinks. Right? Right, Chris? Your whole apartment stinks.
Rotten eggs.
The sulfur smelling water coming out of the hot water heater is not fun, no.
This is now what? Like day five of this sulfur issue.
It's a little bit longer than that. And I will have you know, for listeners who've made it this far into the show, the water is currently running in the shower right now. That is the place that I've gotten to this. I'm just letting the water run so that it
Chris, I don't know if you've got a girlfriend or actively dating. I would stay away from the apartment.
No, not actively dating, so we don't have to worry about that. And I'm just telling people who want to see me, since they haven't seen me in a while, that I'm busy. Like, I'm just not available right now. Like, I'm working on a project, and I can't – give me a couple weeks, okay? Let me just get back into the flow of things, because I'm just dealing with – I've now learned – and by the way, the lovely people at the apartment complex that I work have been super helpful in this, but the enemy of the pod is myself, right? I am my own enemy because I've put myself in this situation for not thinking ahead 2 months ago when I left, because now I had to be taught how to dump the water out of the hot water heater to attempt to alleviate this problem. That is how bad it has gotten. So you know what, Paige? Thank you for bringing this up. My enemy of the pod is myself. I am putting myself on the list for now having to be in the situation where, and this is not a bit for the show. The shower is currently running in the other room, okay? It is on right now, and I might actually, in the middle of the show, have to go turn it off because it's been running for a little bit, but that's where we're at right now. So my enemy of pod this week is me.
Chris, I love that we landed. All I wanted from that scenario was for Chris to get worked up, and I didn't even get 2 minutes into what I was going to say before he took over, made it about him, totally found himself, was up about 7 octaves on his microphone, and was very clearly upset. Chris, I'm glad you recognize that this is your fault. So I'm glad that you put yourself, you need like a month of time where you just really reflect on your bad decision-making as an enemy of the pod.
The worst part is I had all the other bases covered. I gave a key to a buddy. I told, hey, could you start the car for me so the battery doesn't die? Can you make sure I don't have food going bad in the fridge. Can you just keep an eye on the place for me for the 2 months that I'm gone? And this was the one thing that I didn't check off the box that I didn't even think about. And now I've come home. And it's just, I have to use all the cold water. I can't take any hot water showers or use the hot water anywhere. So it's been fun. It's been a blast. And you're absolutely right. It doesn't take much to send me over the edge and get me to just scream into the microphone. And here we are.
Here we are. You're an enemy of the pod. You got about a month to impress.
He's been
JC
an enemy before.
Yeah, he has.
I've been on this list plenty of times.
Yeah. You're on and off the list on a regular basis. Let's be honest here.
Okay. Can we make some picks here?
Yeah.
What? Oh, that's right. Yes. You have your enemy of the pod. Sorry, I'm trying to keep the show moving as the producer here. My bad. Forgot.
Yeah, good.
Forgot.
You can make some picks after this. Chill out over here. Okay, I got a gripe.
My bad.
I got a real gripe that I got to bring to the table. Okay, so we're recording this podcast
on
a Thursday.
Turn the shower off. I'll be right back.
Yeah. We are recording this podcast on a Thursday. On Wednesday, those of you that know me, you know I'm from Chicago. There's a press conference in Chicago with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, current head coach and GM. No, they're not losing their jobs as much as people in Chicago keep praying. You can pray to whoever you want. It's not changing. Okay. They're both keeping their jobs, much to our dismay. So they have both entered the chat. Okay. They have both entered the chat as enemies of the pod, right? And why have they entered as enemies of the pod? This is why they have entered as enemies of the pod. If you listen to the press conference with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, even if you weren't a Bears fan, you were pissed off. Like, you didn't even have to care about the Bears. You just listened to it and you went, those two are idiots. Whatever they just said is moronic. They were trending nationally, okay, for all the stupid stuff that they said. It was ridiculous. So the two of them are definitely on the list, and also George McCaskey. He is the son of the owner of the team, part owner of the team. He is number one enemy of the pot. The stupidity that came out of his mouth on Wednesday made me not want to be a Bears fan anymore. I was like, this dude does not own my franchise. Like, I can't deal with him. He is number one enemy of Paige DeMichelis right now. George McCaskey is top of the list. I am actually going to pull some of the sound from that press conference, Chris, and I'm going to bring it to our next show so you guys can understand the level of anger that was achieved on Wednesday for me from the second I watched the press conference throughout the day. I never stopped being angry. I was angry all day. I even brought that anger to the podcast today, okay? So number one, number two, number three enemies of my pod for me right now, Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace, George McCaskey. And I can assure you they're not going to be removed from the list till George McCaskey sells the team to somebody competent, which is not going to happen. Or Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are no longer in charge of my franchise. So that's my update, Chris. So now you can give us the picks. You can take over as the host, and JC and I can talk about football now.
Okay. By the way, turn the shower back off. It appears as though we've made a little bit of a breakthrough. I know the listeners really care about this. Appears as a breakthrough might be made, but maybe I'm just overlooking some things. Okay.
I love it.
So now let's get back to the football portion of this program. And we normally do picks on this show every week with JC, but everybody's going to make picks for these games. So I have the betting lines and all the games up courtesy of Bet Online. We'll pick these against the spread, obviously, like we always do. And we'll go in order of the games, and the Bucs Saints game is last on the schedule. So that kind of works pretty well in our favor. The first game Saturday, the Rams and the Packers. The Packers 6.5-point favorites, and I will have you know, I know you guys are very busy people. We learned about 15 minutes before we started recording this podcast, no John Walford on this game on Saturday. It will be Jared Goff starting for the Los Angeles Rams. Do with that information what you will, but Packers -6.5 against the Rams. Paige, you can go first.
Okay. I don't think this one takes much analysis. It was 7. I felt comfortable at 7. I feel even more comfortable at 6.5. Packers cover the spread. They win this game 30-20. Not particularly close. Green Bay is a significantly better team than the LA Rams. I think John Wolford might have created more problems because of his mobility than Jared Goff will. So I actually would have put the spread up coming off of that news. So if I'm a Packer fan, I'm not intimidated by this LA Rams team at all, especially going into Lambeau Field. So I pick the Pack, as much as that makes me sick, to cover the spread.
Listen, I'm going to make my pick real quick, and it's going to surprise some people. I would take the Rams money line. I think this is a sneaky win for the Rams, and the Rams are actually – the Rams make me more scared than the Packers do for the Bucks. I just think their game plans by McVay. I can see a money line win here for the Rams. I'm going to stick with it.
JC, I can assure you that if you just called that and it happens, I will be the happy. I will find this clip and I will literally at every Green Bay Packer that I know on Twitter.
Oh, we're opening the show with it next week. Are you kidding me? I'm cutting this. We are opening the show with it.
I looked through the lines and I saw that game and I thought to myself, I think the Rams could do this, and I was going to bet money line and I will.
Look, if they're going to do it, it's going to be because their defense completely slows down Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. right? And it's not that far-fetched to think that they can do that, right? They've shown that they shut down Russell Wilson the week prior in a must-win game for the Arizona Cardinals. They basically shut that Arizona Cardinals offense completely out of that football game. I know Kyler was hurt, but they completely stopped everything they're doing. So you could stop Aaron Rodgers and hold them to maybe 17, 20 points. I think the question mark is, can Jared Goff get you to 21? Can he get you to 28? And that's the big question mark. And if they wake up on the right side of the bed, sure, I think they can get to 28. It's just going to – that's the balance here. The defense is going to show up. The defense is going to make plays. Can Jared Goff and the offense do enough? Paige, I'm with you. I'm going to take the -6.5.
Listen, I will be the happiest person alive to be wrong. I hate being wrong. I will be the happy. I will love being wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope JC makes a buckload of money on the Rams money line. And I hope Aaron Donald just stomps on Aaron Rodgers. So please and thank you. I hope that happens.
game number two, and I know that obviously on this podcast, the game of the weekend for everybody is the Bucks game on Sunday night. But I think for people like Paige and I, who are just, you know, the casual diehard NFL fans, Ravens Bills is going to be the game that I'm going to make sure I have nothing going on. I'm putting my phone on do not disturb. I'm not answering phone calls, texts, nothing. Ravens Bills, the Bills 2.5 point favorite. JC, you can go first on this one.
Ooh, this is a tough one because Josh Allen is just playing out of his mind. And I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to go with the Bills -2.5 and the Bills Mafia, baby. They are the craziest fan base. They're so much fun to watch.
I'm in total agreement. As much as I loved watching Lamar, right, get his first playoff victory, they're that special run away from being totally incompetent on offense against that Tennessee Titans team, right? And I think the difference between Tennessee and what you're going to face in Buffalo is you're going into, even without a large fan base, you're still going into a much tougher environment with weather and just the overall atmosphere that will be in Buffalo versus what they saw when they played in Tennessee last week. And I just wasn't a big believer in Tennessee's defense, right? And we had seen moments from that team all year long where I just didn't think they were – I thought they were a pretender, and I think they proved that to us last week against the Ravens. I believe in Josh Allen. I believe in this football team, and I think most importantly, they believe in themselves. They got a victory last week in a crucial moment against, for my money, a better Indianapolis team than they're going to face this week against Baltimore.
I have one thing to say. So,
yes,
watching the Bills last week, I tweeted out watching them that they look like a legit like Super Bowl team. Like they remind me of all the qualities to win the Super Bowl. But I wanted to bring one other thing up because I know Chris produces Draft Dudes now. And I went on a Would You Rather in the questions comments like probably 2 months ago. And I asked Kyle and Joe, I said, would you rather have Josh Allen or Tua Tagovailoa? And they both said Tua. That's like a receipt thing.
Yes, please mark that down. Marking. I love it. If you could see the video right now, what Chris was doing is he was pulling an old takes exposed,
yep,
right, at live on the pod, and he's going, yep, I'm writing that down. You want to know why? So, I don't know how he feels about Tua Tagovailoa today. Oh, I'm making a guest appearance on Draft Dudes tonight. Looks like I'm going to mention this tonight.
Paige, people don't know about that. Shh, keep it hush-hush. We're leaving it as a surprise that you're on the show tonight. This is
Listen, look at the treats that we're giving away to the listeners, that you guys get to see me troll Kyle live tonight on Twitter and YouTube. Feel free to join us because it will be fun.
All right, let's move to the Sunday games. Cleveland Browns, Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are 10-point favorites. Now, before you make this pick, guys, I just want to let you know that Odell Beckham Jr. tweeted and said, don't be surprised if they win on Sunday. So I want you to factor that into your decision-making when you make this decision. So the Chiefs, 10-point favorites. And then remember, you have the Odell Beckham Jr. tweet. And why would he lie? He would never lie about his team. Paige, you can go first.
I know this is going to come back to bite me, but I think the Chiefs are going to start off slow because they haven't played football in 2 weeks. And the Cleveland Browns are going, because they can run the football, they got two very, very good running backs. The Kansas City Chiefs are at bottom five against the run defensively. So I think Cleveland's going to get out to a little start. And obviously we know what Patrick Mahomes can do. And that secondary specifically in Cleveland is not very good. And they can score at will, right? We've seen it. They can do it against anybody. The difference is, I think we're putting the lens of what we saw last year on them a lot for this year, right? And that everybody just thinks they're going to turn it on. I think they're going to win this game, but I don't think they're going to cover 10. I don't. I think that the Cleveland Browns, that bet is probably my favorite bet this weekend, that they just give me the 10 points. Like, I just don't think Kansas City has shown us, especially the back half of the season, that they're 10-point favorites against a really, really good Cleveland team. I just don't see it. So I will pick Kansas City to win, but I am picking the Cleveland Browns to cover the spread.
This is kind of a tough game because you've seen the Chiefs struggle against teams with like good running backs, like the Raiders and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And Nick Chubb is just so dominant. I think I'm going to go with the same plus 10, take the points with the Browns. who knows what can happen, because this Browns team has that like feeling of like that, like Tim Tebow, Denver Broncos team that could just win like any game. I don't, they have like this special feeling, and you know, those Cleveland fans, I don't know what Shu thinks, but I'm going to take the points and the Browns.
I'm all over the points in this game, guys. The Chiefs haven't covered a spread greater than a touchdown in like 2 months. They just haven't done it. And like, yeah, it's very easy. It's very easy. I'm not going to use the lazy word. It's very easy to be like, oh, they're the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. They'll just turn it on in the postseason. Guess what? They had a bye week. And then in week 17, they sat Mahomes down. So Paige, I'm going to double down on your strategy about it being a slow start for the Chiefs. The Browns played a very emotional game last week. They looked fantastic in that game. And the Chiefs haven't played anybody in 2 weeks. Mahomes hasn't played since week 16. So, look, it's going to be a slow start. And if the Browns get out to like a 17-7 or a 14-0 lead, this game's going to be back and forth. So, I just don't see a scenario where Kansas City, unless they absolutely just figure out a way to turn that switch on, and I just can't buy that. That's too easy of a thing to say when everything that we've seen over the last 2 months says that that's not the case. So I will take the Browns. I still think the Chiefs win the football game.
Yes.
But I will take the Browns to cover with the 10.
You guys remember what, for my money, was one of the best regular season games this year when Cleveland and Baltimore played each other a few weeks ago, right? I see this game kind of playing out almost exactly like that, right? Where it's back and forth, back and forth. I think Cleveland goes up initially, and then Kansas City remembers how to play football after they dust off a little of the 2 weeks off that they've had. And then it's back and forth the whole time. The problem for Cleveland is that they just will not be able to keep up. And they could not keep up with Baltimore. And Baltimore is less explosive than Kansas City is. So that's kind of how I looked at this. And I go, even if they have a slow start, I still see Kansas City coming back and winning the game. That being said, I would love for Cleveland to win. I would love for Cleveland to win. It would be awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for everybody that's not there, right? Like, give me Bucks and Cleveland in the freaking Super Bowl. Can you even imagine?
The dumpster fire of the NFL for the past, like, decade plus.
What an awesome Super Bowl that would be.
Plus, I think we're teetering on the cliff of the Chiefs becoming unlikable, right? And I think if they're in back-to-back Super Bowls, everybody's going to not like Mahomes anymore. And everyone's going to be rooting against Mahomes and trying to figure out who can take down Mahomes. Where if they win this game and they lose in the AFC
100%.
Championship, they lose here. Oh, so it's still Patrick Mahomes. It's still fun. It's Andy Reid. It's fun. They win back-to-back Super Bowls. No, Andy Reid's the worst. Can't stand him. Hope he loses every game he plays. Patrick Mahomes, no, he's not the MVP anymore. He's not that good. We'll try to find things to talk about and try to take down Patrick Mahomes. I like to live in this world where Patrick Mahomes is great and Andy Reid's fun. And we can enjoy the Chiefs. If they win another Super Bowl, we're not enjoying them anymore. Because Twitter and everybody else is going to allow it.
Sounds a lot like the Patriots 20 years with Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened. I was going to bring up in another sport. Remember how much everybody loved the Warriors, the Splash Bros. They were so much fun, right? Then they won, and then they won the 73 games, and everybody was rooting against them, and everybody was rooting for LeBron. That never happens. All of Twitter was like, Team LeBron, and they hated the Warriors, right? Like,
I was a huge Warriors fan, Paige. Like, I went to high school. I had season tickets
for
the
Warriors.
And like, the whole KD equation, like, made me, like, lose my fandom. Like, it was kind of – because I was a fan because, first of all, when I moved to California for high school, Baron Davis signed with the Warriors. So, and we know you're good friends with BD. He's my favorite player of all time. But then the whole KD stuff ruined it for me.
That's what I think the Warriors could become. The Chiefs could become. So like
100%. People don't like greatness. People don't like when people kick everyone's ass. I mean,
they don't like dominance. Like, Alabama's not fun anymore. No one likes Alabama doing what they did to Ohio State because it's just not fun.
No, it's not fun. It's not fun. Roll Tide. Although I love it. Love Nick.
I enjoy it. I would love the Chiefs winning back-to-back Super Bowls.
I love Nick.
But
I love Nick.
The public at large wouldn't like it. All right, last game here, and I'll ask you guys this. Do we want to do JC's keys to this game first before we make picks for this game?
Sure
all right, so the Bucs and the Saints in New Orleans. The Saints are 3-point favorites. So before we all make our pick, I think we're going to be in unison on this one. JC, why don't you give everybody your three keys to this game for the Bucs?
My three keys, my first key to the game is the pass rush needs to get to Drew and put him on his back. We need pressure on him all game. We need sacks. Not even sacks. We just need to get him uncomfortable because he's an old man. He's very fragile, and we need to have him hurting and hopefully cause some turnovers. My second key, Buccaneers. This is a huge one, okay? The Buccaneers need to contain Taysom Hill and the Saints' trick plays. Like, you have got to get that on lock and not let that happen, because that is something they have done to us before, and it's just – it got ugly. And then I put Rojo and Fournette combined for 120 yards rushing on the ground, because we need to control the clock, especially in that second half. Would love to see a healthy Rojo be able to run the ball, because if you've been watching Rojo recently when he's healthy, when he has a hole, he could break that run. Like, he is explosive right now. So those are the keys.
Love those keys. And I believe on Twitter I saw today that both Rojo and Chris Godwin were at practice, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's obviously very good news on both of those guys. But I think to JC's point about putting Drew on his back, right? The Bears did not win that football game, but if you watch the entirety of that football game, right? If the Chicago Bears, if Wims catches that touchdown pass, okay, the entire momentum of this football game is completely different. The defense for the Bears played a perfect first half. It was perfect. The New Orleans Saints scored 7 points in the first half at home. Drew Brees was visibly uncomfortable multiple times. I watched Khalil Mack was probably about a yard away from him, and Drew Brees just went right on the ground. He's like, don't want the smoke. Do not want this. I cannot take these sacks, right? This is the expectation for me for that defense. I want Sue to step up. I want JPP to step up. I want these guys in Drew's face making him uncomfortable. That is the recipe for success against this team. And you cannot let Alvin Kamara get out of control. You just cannot. And this team knows how to do that. I expect a really, really good game plan from Todd Bowles. And I think you watch what you've seen and the teams that have been able to contain the Saints team, you watch that, you move on it, and this secondary has got to hold it down, man. They have got mm-hmm. to be better. They absolutely have to be better, but it's a lot easier for them if they can get – if the front can get some pressure. It's going to take a little bit of that off the secondary, and they can get a little confidence throughout this game, JC.
Yeah, huge addition getting Devin White back, because last week, if Devin White was playing in that game, he would have had at least 3 sacks. Kevin mm-hmm. Minter's just not as fast as Devin White, not as athletic. That was a huge loss for them, and thank God we won that game against Washington. That quarterback, enemy of the pod, my God.
Yes.
He's like a little flea. I just want to swat him. Like, just Heineke terrible.
Or whatever, however the hell
by the way,
say his
name. Todd Bowles. Yeah, Heineke. Todd Bowles, by the way, just had a press conference, said guns are going to be ablazing with the defensive calling. So, the play calls. So, we'll see how that goes.
Oh, boy.
That's a lot of energy coming from Todd. Todd doesn't share a lot of energy. To say that at a press conference,
guns ablazing.
That's some energy fully loaded. From Todd. I like that.
Whoa. That we might need that at the top of the pot. We might need guns ablazing. Feels like he wants to join the show. Todd. Pal.
I mean, he was my head coach for a couple of years. I don't think I ever heard stuff like that.
Todd doesn't talk like that.
I know.
I've had 100 conversations with Todd. He is monotone. I've talked to Todd 150 times, 200 times. It's all, hello, Paige. How are you doing?
Paige,
it's never
Paige,
up
for
and
the
down.
Listeners, for the listeners, scale 1 to 10, how hot is Todd Bowles going to the Atlanta going to happen?
I would say lukewarm, right? I don't think it's scalding hot, but I don't think it's cold.
That's not a number. He asked for a number.
5 out of 10. 5 out of 10.
5. Okay. Halfway.
5. 5 out of 10.
I had someone come in my DMs to say that Todd Bowles should be fired as the defensive coordinator. And I borderline was like, I blocked the person. I mean,
blocking season, people. We are
look,
here.
I have the craziest DMs during games. What people say to me and like are like crying, complaining, and then like it always works out. Stop freaking out.
Here's the quote. We're in the right frame of mind. We don't have any doubts. We're going to go in with guns blazing. Todd, love this.
Yo,
huge fan.
There is electric. Nothing. There is nothing that I love more than a game plan that involves a very aggressive blitz package. Okay. That is what that means. You play the soundbite from Remember the Titans, and you tell them you blitz all night. I want Drew Brees on his back all night. I am literally going to get that soundbite, and I'm going to send it to the two of you after the show. You're going to take 30 seconds. You're going to listen to it, and you will have goosebumps guaranteed. Because you will know, you will sit there and you'll go, man, if Todd Bowles came into the room and he said this, because he's not, he doesn't do that. That's why I love this. I love this from Todd.
Another positive for the Buccaneers is that Carlton Davis matches up so well with Michael Thomas. Like, he shuts Michael Thomas down, and that's what, well, part of that is that Carlton Davis is not a very fast cornerback, and Michael Thomas is not a very fast wide receiver, and they're both lanky guys, and he seems to do great. That's my biggest thing with Carlton Davis. True. He gets in so much trouble with penalties when he's trailing guys, and he pulls the jersey for pass interference calls. It's just – listen, for the listeners out there, I really hope that Pat Pete, even though he's a little older, comes to this Bucs team year two of the Brady era, because I whatever happens on Sunday, I think – the Buccaneers year two are going to be so much more dangerous than this year. They're going to have the whole offense figured out, and they're going to add a lot of veteran pieces. I guarantee. I would get a tattoo if I was wrong that James White is not a running back on the Bucs next year.
It makes a lot of sense, right? It makes a ton of sense for this Tampa team. You know, I love me some Pappy. That's my boy. I would love if I could, in a perfect world, I get to take Tyron away from Kansas City and Patrick away from Arizona, and I get to put both of them in Tampa Bay with Todd. Like, that's there was nothing more swaggy or electric on a Sunday than I would walk in on the sidelines at the Cardinal game, and they would be bumping music, and I'd look over, and those two were getting it all the time. They just fed off of each other. I know Ty's got another year in KC, and he's not leaving, but Pat would be – an amazing addition, and he was so great in Todd's defense. I would love to see that. That would be awesome.
Are we all taking the Bucs minus or Bucs plus three?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want
money line. Sure we money line.
That up. Yeah, but I'll take.
I think I'll end like I'll give some analysis. Right. I think JC's keys are all accurate. Like, those are all the things that I would say as to what I'm looking for. Like, how do the Bucs win the game? Right. What I think happens here is, I think you're looking at the postseason pedigree that is Tom Brady versus Drew Brees. Like, as much as I respect the hell out of Drew, nobody is Tom. And Drew has had some early exits quite often in the postseason for a team that's almost, if you were in basketball, you'd be a super team, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about. That last year loss at home to Minnesota was embarrassing, right? And they have a little bit of that on them. I think the other part of this is JC and I have talked about on earlier podcasts, bulletin board material. Okay. And I warned people when Jameis Winston was eating a W, okay, on video in the regular season, that was the definition of bulletin board material. Okay. And I said it then, I hoped we would get this matchup. Because I thought to myself, there is no other situation other than meeting up with New England in the postseason in the Super Bowl, right? There is no other situation or game that you will get this motivated of a Tom Brady, right? This is that matchup. This is what they wanted. They wanted, okay, you swept the regular season. Congrats. This is the postseason. This is what matters. This is what people remember. And I think they're going to bring that to the table. And I think Tom's going to make one or two more plays than Drew does. And it's going to be a close game, but the Bucs are going to win. That's what I believe that, because I've seen it for two decades. And that's what I don't care who the pieces are. That's what I think is going to happen out on the field.
And Tom Brady knows, like, this is Tom Brady versus Drew Brees. I know quarterbacks never want to say that it's not me versus the other quarterback, but I mean, these guys are both in their 40s, and I mean, this is a huge game, and these guys are both very talented. Drew's just withering away, but Tom's got three more years, so Tom's got to win this game.
Tom is in a different class. I want people to stop putting him with Roethlisberger and Rivers and these,
oh, God, yeah.
All those guys are declining. Tom has not shown that. Okay. Watch the tape from the Washington game. I call them FU throws. There's two of them. I won't have to tell you what throws they are. You could literally have never watched a football game. And if you watch that game, you would be able to tell me which two throws I'm talking about, because they're ridiculous. They're stupid. They're perfect. Nobody who's 43 years old should be able to do that. He's a freak of nature. And he's just built different.
Did you hear that Well, I put this out on Twitter, but it really happened. The TB12, like, medical guys all got with Mike Evans after his hyperextended knee, worked with him the entire week, and then he comes out and plays balls out against – I mean, how unreal is that? Just Alex Guerrero and Tom – when you sign Tom Brady, you not only sign Tom Brady, you sign an entire, like, health unit for the team. He's, like
– you. And it's just – it's the aura. It's the discipline. It's the expectation. It's everything that comes along with that, right? It's just different. He's built different. The expectations are different. People used to talk about – I have so many friends that would tell me that played in the league. They go, man, you just walk into New England and it was just different. And it wasn't Bill. It was Tom and Bill together. And Tom brought that down to Tampa, where the expectation is business. You walk in, we're not here to do anything else other than win a Super Bowl. And that's not something Tampa Bay, it's not something anybody in the NFL other than New England has ever had before. So I think you're getting all business. I think you're getting the off the bus moment, right? In college football, where you send the most intimidating dude off the bus. Is there anybody more intimidating in the history of the NFL in the postseason than Tom Brady walking off the bus with those damn UGG boots and some baller ass freaking sunglasses and some ridiculous coat from a brand in Europe that none of us have ever heard of because we're not cool enough to own it. Mm-hmm. And he walks out and you're just like, Bad Boys is playing. Like, I can just hear it. It's not actually playing. It's just playing in my head. He is the most intimidating mofo in the history of the NFL in the postseason, period.
I'm ready. Can't wait to watch it. Can't wait.
I'm ready. I'm like, goosebumps. Let's go, Bucks. I'm all in. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward to it.
Before we sign off, Paige, since you watched that game very closely with the Bears, what would your three keys for the Bucks be? Not mine, but what would your three keys?
My three keys for the Bucks, same one as you in the first point, right? You got to get in Drew's face. You absolutely have to. The pass rush has to show up, period. Otherwise, Drew will pick you apart. Cannot give him time. Tom has to be postseason Tom. Like, I have to see, there has to be a couple of those moments in the same way that I saw against Washington last week, those two FU throws, he needs the same amount of those, if not more, against this team, right? And because we know on the flip side, right, we know what Tom needs to do to have success. He needs time, right? This offensive line has their work cut out for them again, but they're coming off of probably one of their collective best performances last week against a top pass rush in the NFL against Washington. They need to replicate that, and Gronk needs to continue to move bodies on the offensive line. He was unbelievable vintage blocking on the for Tom last week, and I think you're going to see a lot of that in this game as well, right? But I agree with you, running, they got to get the running game going. That's going to open things up for Tom. And you know, hearing that Todd Bowles quote, man, that just like everything that I want to happen, I want an aggressive game plan. And that's guns blazing. That sounds like we're going to get an aggressive game plan. So I'm excited for that. And I think if that's what they do and they can get to Drew, this game could potentially get ugly, but I do think it's going to be.
Can't wait. I mean, Buccaneers are in the playoffs. We're in a very meaningful playoff game. This is amazing. So
you're in the divisional round of the playoffs, my friend. You have made it. You won a playoff game. You didn't only make it. You won a game on the road. You win this one, you're going to win a second game on the road. That is an impressive feat. That is a very hard thing to do in the NFL. But if there's anybody
you don't want to see Brady in Green Bay either. Cold weather, Tom, is nasty.
That's what somebody told me that today. They're like, oh, I don't know if – like, what are the Bucs going to do if they have to go to Green Bay? I'm like, I don't know. Tom Brady played 2 decades in New England. You think he's intimidated to play at Lambeau? Like, come on. Come on. Like, yes, obviously I would prefer that the Bucks get to play a home game against the Rams. Like I would much prefer that happens, but I think I think the Pack are going to win, and I hope the Bucks win and we get a Raj versus Tom for the NFC championship game. That seems like a pretty fun game to talk about and preview. So All right, guys, final thoughts, podcast, wrap things up. Shub, I'll let you go first. Why don't you give us your final thoughts?
Listen, it's been enjoyable to watch the postseason football. I'm starting to take for granted how much of a process it was to even get this season to the point that we're at right now. And we only have a couple more of these weekends left, only a couple more Sundays with football left. So I'm just trying to enjoy them. And I know for Bucks fans, it's been nerve wracking all week. The anxiety's probably through the roof. It's only going to get worse as we get closer to game day, but just take maybe 10, 15 minutes here over the weekend to just understand that, like, these games probably shouldn't even be being played right now, considering everything that's going on. So we are incredibly lucky and grateful that the NFL has gotten us to this point where we are playing these games. So that's my final thought. Try to be a little positive here to close the show.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Listen, your sports teams have put you in this positive mood. It's strange, but I like it. It's a good thing that – inevitably, the Mets or the Jets will do something stupid in the next 2 weeks. But it's okay. For now, we'd like to have you happy. JC, final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning kicked the season off after winning the Stanley Cup. So that was nice. And then, like I was saying earlier, I just can't believe I'm getting to finally experience the Buccaneers in the playoffs. I'm like, honestly, Paige knows, I'm like the biggest. I should be painted like Stank Bastard and those guys. But it's just so much fun. And I hope they win. And even if they don't, you know, it was a hell of a season. I'll be ready for year two. But we're going to win this game against New Orleans, and Cam Jordan's going to eat some crap for breakfast.
I greatly agree. My final thoughts are this. I think Bucks fans, much like Chris said, that are listening to this podcast, you got to take a deep breath. You got to realize this season was a blessing that we got it. You were an 11-5 football team. 11-5, I'll say it again. Seems like you guys won 5 games the way some people reacted on Twitter throughout this football season. You won 11 games. You went to the postseason, and you won a postseason game. That in and of itself makes this season a positive. That in and of itself. But if this team goes to New Orleans and ends Drew Brees' career with a victory – there at the Superdome. What a way. What a way for Tom Brady to kick off his time in Tampa, right? And it is, you couldn't write a better storyline than that. So I am hopeful that that is what we get, and that the next time we're talking to you guys, we are breaking down a NFC championship game matchup for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that, I think, will feel very good. So, Bucs fans, enjoy this weekend. Be sure to follow all of us on social media. You can follow JC at Cornell NFL. You can follow me at the sports page, and you can follow Shoe at Shoe Radio. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.